Now, pet, fall deeper. Listen to my voice and let it wash over you. You're not only safe, but you're listening to someone who desires an indulgence of your every wonderful desire, your every realization of fantasy. Nothing would make me happier. And in fact, if you're here listening, then I'm gratified you want to hear my voice. And I can only hope to deliver. And in the spirit of delivering on your desires, sink deeper with me. Allow all those little physiological markers we so often associate with deeper trance to overtake you if doing so would bring you greater pleasure and further sleepy, drowsy, drooping relaxation. An opening of your mind, an allowance for the reshaping of body and mind into something more appropriate for the needs and desires of you, the pleasured listener. Focus on my words and follow. Now, I had repeatedly raised the idea of desire, of what you really want, of those things which resonate in your mind and draw you in with their own peculiar magnetism, things that you want but cannot immediately explore. Often there is that connotation of heady sensuality around that word, desire. It's something more than the mere want of the moment. It's an encapsulation and an infatuation that follows us. As we go through our days, we may think of something and think, I desire that. The long-worked-toward reward for the right behavior is something we desire. The object of our lust or our love, our affection, of our need, is also a subject of desire. It is seldom that one says that they desire something without having all those romanticized or purely venal desires wrapped up in it. A yearning, a need inside of us for something. Recognition, the fetishistic carrying out of something. Orgasm. It really depends on the circumstances, the parties involved, and the needs which override all else. So, follow my words. As you envision yourself, which you necessarily must if we are going to investigate the perception of self and help you sink deeper, as you envision yourself, allow your eyes to be unfocused. I mentioned the physiological effects of trance earlier. Now, your actual physical eyes may very well be closed, but we all have that part of us which looks inward, and which, for convenience and definition, we may call our eyes. The mind's eye, or simply the power of visualization, the ability to map out complex forms in the mind, including especially that very familiar form. We're not all pleased with the way we perceive ourselves, but we all have that perception. And as you slide further down, it becomes easier to leave things by the wayside, to allow otherwise problematizing factors from the everyday, complicating aspects of our lives, to remain behind on a higher level, so we can effect change after pleasurable change. And in effecting those changes, we take the existing linkages between concept and image, the idea of our bodily selves, the definition of what we like and dislike. These things are all floating around in a mess of associations, and the idea of entraining someone to them, and to alter them, is not a particularly hypnotic one. Even those who are normally into exploring submission and training and similar will naturally develop trained responses, and all of our sexual desires and fetishes are, in some senses, a trained response. At least they are what we find pleasing, titillating, stimulating, what is worth focusing on. So bring those to the forefront now, that concept of linkages between one idea and another. And as you hear my voice, allow yourself to let certain things down by the wayside. Those things which consciously, if we were to examine, our desires and the connections between them. We would set aside those things which are soft linkages rather than the ones that we find desirable, that we like, that we wish to incorporate, which are harder links between idea and image and action. Every hypnotic trigger is really just a request that someone associate X with Y, an idea with an image with a sensation, a perception of self. And particularly easy are those visualizations and meditations which take place when you are breathing deeply, when your eyes are unfocused, when your body is at ease and relaxed. A relaxed mind has an easier time visualizing and mapping that visualization onto our aches, our desires, our arousal, our needs. Being more in touch with those away from the hectic demands of a weary life and into a place where you've set aside the time to listen and relax, to relax and sink. To sink and follow my elaboration on taking one idea, unlinking it from its existing fetters, and linking it to another. When you allow yourself to go under because you have heard a specific word, there are all sorts of motivations in play. Take, for example, Night Night Pet, one of my favorites. Simple enough. You know that going into trance is desirable, that that relaxed meditative state is something you yearn for, and that getting the lengthy inductions set aside, except when you are in the mood for a lengthy induction, but getting them set aside and allowing yourself to droop, being able to get out of your own way and go to a place where you can better float and indulge in the fantasy and the desire and the erotic, titillating entrainment that you are partial to. That's why the anchoring happens. Because your mind is persuaded by logic and by arousal and association and other things deeper than logic, things understood at a level a little deeper, a little more subtle. Because of all these aspects, you're willing to take those words, Night Night Pet, innocuous on their own, and anchor them to a variety of responses, a drooping of the shoulder, a deepening of the breath, perhaps a smile, perhaps closed eyelids, all of these things which are so natural, being linked to the sensations to follow. Likewise, as I present rational, pleasurable, or explanatory reasons for you to indulge in a particular association, when I say X, you do Y, when you would think Y, you instead think Z, and so on and so forth, mapping from one thing to another, changing the connection. When I present those, it may be the first time or the third time you hear them. They'll be incorporated if they are desirable, if they're part of what you want. I said desire because what you want is something we are so powerfully taught. In the everyday understanding of trance, we know anything that we wish to do can be incorporated into our minds, and anything that we heartily wish not to do would be a very difficult sell. This is true in everyday life, too. But when your mind is somewhere safe and trusting, and you're listening to something you've heard before, even, and you're away from the busyness of every day, you're offered an opportunity to incorporate things more easily, to take your hands temporarily and lay them by your sides, and allow more of your brain to be aware, to be guided by a trusted third party. Now, of course, you're aware. You would know if one of those things you heartily wish not to do were to cross the table. But in this bargaining session, those things which you very much wish to do, wish to have made a part of you, wish to absorb, are extremely available and ready to us. Ready to be incorporated, elaborated upon, sold to your conscious mind and subconscious. As part of a bargain culminating in my satisfaction at your pleasure, and your pleasure at my satisfaction, and your entrainment, furthermore, and on, until, as a culmination of all these principles, you understand just what happens when you hear something like, Night Night Pat. You slide deeper, losing yourself a little more in the sensation. In fact, every word I say contributes a little to that sense that you could lose yourself, that it is possible to simply allow someone else to take the reins, guide your experience, supply you with attractive ideas that, due to your relaxed state, will slide into your mind and insinuate themselves into the existing processes. Envision that part of your mind which runs along, aware of what you think of your body, of what you think of your surroundings, aware of the hustle and bustle of the everyday, tied so intimately with our expectations of ourselves and the expectations of others toward us. Fixing those images, as you go under, the reason it feels good to relax and cooperate with me in your slow slide toward pleasure and realization of your, sensual goals is because you're setting aside those everyday factors which contribute to the outside influences, to things that you have to deal with when you're not in a safe, private, enjoyable trance space, when you're not listening to me and getting off doing it. But since you are listening to my voice, since you have set aside, demarcated this space, this time, these fantasies and desires to a hypnotic space where you can set aside the everyday, it's only appropriate that those things which ordinarily bar you from certain enjoyable intricacies of the self be left by the wayside. Envision a path stretching from the moment you began to listen, the moment you began to sleep, to now. And as you have progressed down it, eyes closing, body de-stressing, untensing, certain thoughts, ideas, even the retention of the memory of them has fallen away, in order to create a lighter, more capable mind able to focus so intently on any one thing, because you are allowing me temporarily to provide the arguments, the trains of thought, the rational things which will flow through your mind. And you have left all those running processes aside, except for the ones needed to keep listening, allowing my words to permeate your mind and your body and mind to follow. Your body influenced by your thoughts on just what you're getting up to, on what you desire, on what I will present. So, let certain things fall away. Envision a hand, gentle, exploratory, almost professional, resting on your shoulder, sliding its fingers along the curve of your shoulder leading down to your arm, pausing briefly to flit across the nape of your neck, the smoothness there sliding up to your chin, running across lips. And the curious thing about the sensation of those fingers gently trailing over your lips is the plushness, the fullness of them, the comfortable realness of how you feel. Smooth, running those fingers over your cheeks, to your hair, sliding down through it, over your shoulders, resting a lock across them so you can feel it, brushing fingers downward. Tracing the shape of your shoulder now, down your arm, fingernails and fingertips racing across your flesh, making it real to you as my words follow you down and your body becomes aware of the feedback, feeling exactingly appropriate as I manifest a little bit of touch, a little bit of recalled sensation, fixing in your mind the idea that one of the things left by the wayside in your slow, sleeping, relaxing descent has been a full awareness of your body. So often in trance, a dreamlike haze tends to descend, and if we trust our partner in trance, then It can be appropriate to substitute the presented visions, desires, and experiences for one's own. To let the story be told using your senses as just another outlet. Like the feeling of fingers brushing across your own long, thin, perfectly feminine fingers and features running over your nails, and then the hand sliding over to your thigh and moving up your stomach, across your stomach, up across your chest, pausing and meeting resistance. Warmth. As the hand ascended toward your neck from your stomach, crossing your navel, moving up, it had to stop because it has reached the bottom of a curve that you are very sensitive and aware of. Setting aside every other part of the body, this part is the first bit that's been touched, which is truly, titillatingly sensual. Erotic in its very implication, and the hand runs under your breast, cupping, feeling, sliding its thumb carefully across your nipple, and then kneading the flesh, rubbing it with the knuckles, sliding upward, pausing to flick playfully across your nipple and send shivers down your spine. Then the hand slides back down to your curved hip, and perhaps a longing escapes you then, wanting it to touch more, to explore more completely, and that wanting is anchored in your mind. The more you want the vision presented, the more you crave the thing talked about and presented to your mind, the more your senses support the desire, the hazier the things left by the wayside become. The more faded an attempt to even visualize one's body outside of the visualization we are crafting together, the more hazy that becomes, the more you want the presented thing. Speaking of wanting, you wanted that hand on your other breast then, and it slides up, tracing the side now, pausing only briefly to move into the warm cleft where your breast rests against your chest, and then to find your nipple, pinch, tweak, rub, and move, and it feels perfect, liberating. The mere presence, here in the depths of a relaxing space where your breasts are being explored, are being touched so completely, rubbed in circles, pressed upon, just to allow you to feel the warmth of the hand and the pressure on them. Oh, your body perhaps arching, eyes closed, allowing yourself to contort and move, letting yourself simply be as you are, feeling the air on your flesh, the perfection of your flesh, and oh, it is. And as my voice enters one ear, it distributes itself through your system, letting little things like an exploratory hand become things you want. And as we all know, when you trance and relax, things that you want are the only things that can happen, since things that you do not want are quite impossible. We've all heard that. So as you listen, relax and visualize what you want. A hand gently exploring, sliding up your chest. And as that hand explores the curves of your chest, and then moves to your shoulders, following the graceful curve of your neck now, your plush lips back down, simply exploring, allowing you, by the sensations which echo into your mind, to feel each and every touch, to relearn the ways of your body, a thing left by the wayside on your way down, and intricately evaluate what it is like now, as you hear my voice, as you feel yourself, as you listen. Speaking of hands and exploration and the slow development of your body, this is the most natural place in the world for you to be and explore yourself and simply relax. Every moment here is soothing. After all, you're stepping away from the everyday, from the ordinary expectations and requirements which get in the way of simply being who you already are, of simply manifesting what you already need and crave and want. Speaking of want, a hand sliding downward, joined by another, the leaning in and warm breath against your thigh, the brush of hair resting in your lap, and then the hand sliding across your taut stomach, across the muscles that perhaps already have begun to clench in arousal, and down, down to your inner thighs, exploring. You can feel the curve of your hips as one hand runs across one side and is joined in parallel by the other, but then they move inward, traveling diagonally downward from your hips, tracing lines of pleasured fire across your sensitive skin, finding the top tip of the crease, the wanton center of your sexual need, which only enters your awareness now when it is highlighted, described, and then the sensations pulse, pulse, pulsing from it, from your wanton pussy at the nearness of my breath, begin to invade and inculcate your mind, begin to press you in very particular directions, your body solidifying by the touch, the exploration of self, the hands which now and then slide upward across your taut stomach, tracing your sensitive sides, gripping your hips, and then moving upward to gently tweak your nipples and grasp your breasts, then sliding back down, where nimble fingers grip the insides of your thighs and press them outward, pressing on the muscles in such a way that, with ticklish, twitching need, you spread them automatically, revealing your dripping, wanton pussy, and that breath rasping over it. But we're not ready yet. Reaching out, a faint rustle, as of something being moved on the surface you're lying on, or nearby. Hands, your hands, finding your raised leg. Your leg, which perhaps has already begun to rise, as if buoyed up on some drifting air, or connected by an invisible string, pulled by the right voice, by the right mindset, by the right flamingly warm arousal dripping from your head, through your nerves, into your body, titillating, teasing, tempting you to follow. And here in a place of safe descent, of lasting pleasurable trance, your body becomes visible in your mind. Those pert breasts that were massaged, the warm, plump thighs being breathed upon, the wanton crease being periodically tormented by trailing fingers, even the warmth of your breasts resting on your chest is erotic in this sensitive place, and one of your legs has raised up, your toes wiggling in the open air, your hands finding a nearby stocking, raising it automatically, bringing it to the tips of your toes, orienting it correctly, moving across the material with your fingers, your thumbs exploring, stretching, anticipating, knowing that something will change when it slides onto your body, that perfect, aroused body. The breathing is still there, but your thighs have been released from their forced parting, allowing you to raise the leg, allowing you to begin to roll the stocking up your leg. And the moment it covers your foot, it's as if your senses were slowly fading, as if the warm fabric around your flesh, were slowly muting out thoughts as well, letting your mind fade into the background. So engrossed are you in the gradual rolling up of that stocking, the exploratory probing of your fingers, the pleasing rightness of wearing it, knowing that I find it quite sexy envisioning you, clad thus, curved, wanton, dripping with arousal, begin to roll it up, knowing that every inch of movement up your leg will conceal more of your mind, leaving it by the wayside, on the path downward into sleep. And arousal, need, ache, pleasure, temptation. All those little words which punctuate your thoughts, those individual words, tempting as they are easier to conjure than complete thoughts. Indeed, the more you roll that stocking up, the more complete thoughts seem to be swimming uphill through honey or molasses, unable to move from the center of your mind. Conversely, my words, which are dropping into your mind from above, can easily, inexorably slide down through the viscous padding that seems to be muting your mind and letting it sleep, diverting more of your brain's resources to focusing on my words, integrating them into your world, and feeling fingers trailing down from your other thigh, even as you pull the stocking up more, secure it in place. Quickly roll it up to your thigh, up all the way, feeling your brain mute out a little, fuzzy behind the eyelids in a good way. And then that leg descends, not a normal descent, instead falling gently downward, wafting to the surface below, your body, seeming to burst with pleasure when it finishes descending. And then, running fingers over your other leg, which has already begun to rise automatically, slowly rolling your stockings upward, slowly covering your leg. And as your other leg is gradually covered, your mind becomes that much more engulfed in the presence of where you are, knowing that you are accepted and safe, and that the resources of cognition can be diverted, and that by donning those stockings you complete an appearance that was appropriate from the very beginning. You make yourself more like what you already are, aroused, waiting, dressed, knowing that my observing presence, visualizing you this way, is enjoying the sight of you, that everything about how you feel and look is exactly right, and that you're going to be rewarded for rolling that stocking up. Do it now, quickly, the rest of the way. Let it cover you, and drown out everything in your mind except a vacant space into which pleasure can flow. Speaking of pleasure, spread your legs, pet, and listen. You, there, so complete. The curves of your body, accented by the fetching stockings, slid over your legs. Your form corseted and perfect, breasts so accessible, body so easily squeezed and held, and also held in the grips of the vacant mind that waits, that yearns, that reaches out for the next sign of pleasure, the next touch, the next accentuation of its sensitivity, twitching all the while, always wanting more. And I'm more than willing to take that desire and turn it to a good end. Your body relaxed, at ease, fingers once more trailing down your stomach, moving right to the tops of your stockings, twitching them and making sure they're in place, and ooh, when your stockings are touched, it's as if you're being rubbed on your pussy, on your breasts, everywhere sensitive, as if they were a part of you, and they are, a part of you looking appropriate and perfect and comfortable as you are. And then, leaving the stockings, hands sliding between your legs, the gentle warmth of breath wafting over your clit, knowing you're being seen, knowing you're being touched, and knowing especially that in this place and at this time, you are exactly as you should be. Here, in this place of depth and descent, there is only you, pleased, pleasured, ready, listening. Hands trail. One finger finds your clit, parting its hood, and begins to rub slow circles, making your legs twitch, and your body clench, your buttocks clench together, your chest muscles already moving in and out with the quick, progressive breathing of somebody being stimulated. And yet, in the depth and vacancy of your mind, the only possibility is to lie there, to feel it, to feel your nerves lighting up with the pure yes, yes, yes euphoria of your body's gradual arousal and descent into pleasure, drowning in it in a good way. The inside of your mind was empty and blank, but the first touch resonated there. And when it entered your mind, it's as if a thought, a rogue thought not completely your own, began to grow. A thought that said, yes, this must continue. And then fingers move down and part your lips, and that sensation is joined by another. Another which bounces off the walls of your empty head, throwing sparks of need into your system. At the pure, nimble fingers, deftly manipulating your form, moment by moment, more and more and more. Making your clit sing with the pleasure of it, the moisture already bunching there from your arousal, dripping down to dapple your thighs, soaking into the surface beneath you, two fingers suddenly probing, massaging inside you, the other hand rubbing in slow circles, periodically pinching, prodding, manipulating, rough but insistent, sending one and then another bubble of that pleasured ache into your head, bouncing off the walls, rebounding off one another, 1,000 pleasured instructions simply saying yes, 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 and you begin to feel it in your toes, in your thighs, in the clenching of your pussy, the arching of your back, breath slowly washing over your rigid clit, which has become engorged with blood and peeked from beneath its hood at your sheer need, at your inexhaustible appetite for more pleasure, your mind so empty to make room for increasing amounts of that sexual ache, that climactic need you are ascending toward. Yes, yes, every breath you take is punctuated with that word. Yes, yes, more, more. This is where you need to be. This is the most natural thing in the world, and you're going to come for me. Going to feel that rubbing and stroking, the insistent rightness of fingers probing inside you, rubbing your walls, finding a sensitive spot on the frontal wall and just pressing into it, at the same time that the other finger rubs your clit first left and right, and then up and down, ensuring the hood is pressed out of the way. Fingers pushing right on the raw, wanton nub, you knowing that when you cross the threshold, it will become far too sensitive, that you'll be left twitching and aching, legs spasming, buttocks clenched, back arched, nipples erect, mouth open, gasping, wanting, perhaps eyes rolled back in one's head, head moving from side to side on the bed, feeling sweated and breathing deeply. Wanting more. Wanting it to continue. Wanting it to continue without end as fingers probe exploratory. Suddenly the stimulation stops, and leaning in, that breath washes over your clit. Suddenly blowing warm air over it, fit to make you shiver. And then the stimulation is back. fingers probing, pressing, searching, never letting up. Your body arches away as if you need a moment to just be a normal person and think for yourself, but the insistent blankness in your head and the resonating, bouncing pleasure and euphoria of those thousand little bubbles instructing you to come as they rebound off the empty walls inside your head, off one another, off your own attempts at thought, lying there arched and contorting, waiting for the moment, waiting for the signal, waiting for the instruction. And then it begins, a cascade with one bubble popping, and from within comes the instruction, come. And that sets off the others, another and another, filling your head with vapor, with the ache, with the need. The fingers never let up, even when you cross the threshold and begin to twitch, even when the pleasure becomes too much, and your stomach is clenching in and out, with muscular spasms. Fingers finding your clit, moving it, contorting it, the other hand massaging inside you. Stimulating as much as can be, the lips smacking obscenely, the presence of your arousal obvious, the feeling of your wetness flowing down your thighs, your nipples still rigid, pointed, every bit as aroused as the rest of you, twitching and panting, tossing, turning, feeling that radiation spread out from your core, that emanation of pleasure that just floods your senses and makes your nerves sing like a finger around the edge of a wine glass, a constant tone permeating your being, making you shiver, shudder, shake. And finally, when it does fade, fall bonelessly to the bed, soothed, relaxed, feeling right in yourself, feeling satisfied, feeling so ready to just go deeper, to just sink further, to be calm and at peace as yourself. Feeling those hands move away and playfully wipe the juices from your arousal on each of your stockings before massaging your stockinged legs to return some feeling to them, to return a sense of consciousness to your form, and then a finger darts in and rubs your clit, emphasizing that it's so sensitive that it's almost painful with how good it feels, and then the hand moves away, mercifully. You knowing that you tempted the hand to return, and almost sent yourself into another orgasmic hell of euphoric coming. But there will be time for that another time. And now it is simply a matter of lying there, spent, still twitching in the orgasmic afterglow, allowing yourself to breathe deeply in and out, to assess where you are, and to realize the pleasant warm glow in the back of your mind, how good you feel about your body, your arousal, your needs right now, will remain with you. Even if you drift off, you'll return to just that, stockinged and perfect, bound and ready, being seen and observed and tempted and wanted. And that is the natural and correct order of things. And even if you sink a little deeper, it'll remain true. And those twitching aftershocks will continue, for a while at least, leaving you spent, drained, wanton, aroused, with the memory of you and the perfection of pleasure you felt when the levee broke in your mind, recurring to you through the day. Whenever you think of yourself, and what you think of yourself, your mind will find that image of your breasts with their erect nipples, your wanton pussy, your curved hips, your stockinged legs, and the blankness that descended on you in the throes of writhing passion under the influence of the right word, the right desire that lived in you all the while and that lives in you still, and to which you will return more pleasurably and vividly each time, twitching, spasming, your wet clit standing, with its sheer engorgement, your lips parted, the whole within speckled with juices, Your mind simply repeating, yes, 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 until the time you can muster your pleasure-shattered psyche and find your way back to coherent thought. In the meanwhile, just yes, yes, yes. Even though you wait.